Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Well, tonight, I entitled the lesson, Can God Count on Us? We know that we can count on God our whole lives. But the question is, can God count on us? And living as godly people and doing God's work is not always easy. Sometimes there's opposition. There's obstacles that come before us. And are we willing to take that risk and try and live as godly servants? So that's something I want to kind of discuss tonight. Are we willing to take that risk? And an example for us to learn from, and the lesson's going to come from Daniel chapter 3 this evening, Daniel chapter 3. So an example for us to learn from is you are taken from your home. You're renamed, you're taken from family, you become a servant to a Babylonian king, you learn a new language, new literature, and new customs. You're assigned food and drink from the king's table, and you're trained for 3 years, and if you're chosen, then you can enter the king's service. And so I was kind of trying to think about, is there something that we can relate to in today? In our lives. And I was talking with Paula, and she said, you know what that sounds like? I said, what? She said, it sounds like marriage. And she's like, yeah. She's like, marriage, you get a new name. She's like, you're introduced to new food. She's like, because she cooks the way she was trained by her mother, and I ate food the way that my mother prepared it, so there's challenges there. You go to a new home. You leave your home, and now you're going to start your new home. We both speak different languages, men and women. And then we come from different traditions and different backgrounds. So that's something, I said, you're right. That is something that we can work through. So after Daniel had interpreted King Nebuchadnezzar's dream of a large statue, and again, the king didn't tell him what the dream was. He told all the wise men, and he told Daniel, was saying, you have to tell me what the dream was, and then you need to interpret it. And Daniel did that, where he ruled over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all the wise men. And then at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as administrators over the province of Babylon. Then King Nebuchadnezzar had a golden image built. It was 60 cubits high, 60 cubits wide, and he set it up on the plain of Dura. So I'd like to read from Daniel chapter 3, verses 4 through 18. Daniel chapter 3, 4 through 18. It says, then the herald loudly proclaimed, nations and people of every language, this is what you are commanded to do. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipe, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, lyre, harp, and all kinds of music, all the nations and people of every language fell down and worshipped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. At this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, may the king live forever. Your majesty has issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipe, and all the music must fall down and worship the image of gold, and that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold that you have set up. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my God or worship the image of gold that I have set up? Now when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, God that we serve is able to deliver us from it. And if he will deliver us, and he will deliver us from your hand, your majesty. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. So here I just want to look at what's the reaction. How do these three young Jewish men respond to the decree that the king has set up? And first of all, they rely on their teachings. As they were growing up, they rely on their teachings. They stay strong in that. In Exodus chapter 20, verses 3 through 6, it says, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of their parents to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. So these young men, they remember their teaching. They stay true to their teachings that they were taught. Also, we see that they have no need to defend themselves before the king. They don't come before the king and try and bargain or plea bargain with him like, well, you know, we can't do that, but maybe there's something else we can do. They come right to him and say, we have no defense. We're not going to defend ourselves in this. And they do not bow down when the music is played to worship the image of gold. And they do not serve or worship the gods that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they made that very plain and simple to him. We're not going to do it. We don't do it. And when confronted by the king, and they're threatened to be thrown into the furnace, and the king says, what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? They respond, if it's God's will, he will deliver us out of your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. So these men are taking a stand. And if you go back into the story, you see that after their training, when they came in front of King Nebuchadnezzar, they were 10 times smarter than all the other men that had come before him. So I just think that the king remembers them and was impressed by them. And I think he was thinking, well, when they come before me, they'll have a little mind change. They'll bow down and they'll go back and govern for me. But they hold their stand. They're not going to do it. And so, again, they do this with bravery and in confidence of God, knowing that he will never leave them or forsake them, whether they go in the fire or not. They trust and believe in God. And so now I'd like to read, again, in chapter 3, verses 19 through 24. So then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude towards them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in the army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent, and the furnace was so hot, that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leapt to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire? They replied, certainly, your majesty. So here we see this is we saw with the three young Jewish men, how they responded to the decree. Now we see how King Nebuchadnezzar responds to their response to his decree. So he was furious, and his attitude changed towards these men. He ordered the furnace heated, Jewel, and that probably is just, you make this furnace as hot as possible. He had the strongest soldiers in his army tie them up, so these guys weren't going to get away. And I'm sure these soldiers were big, surrounded them, you weren't going to get them out. And then his command was so urgent that it caused the death of his soldiers who took the men up. So here are these soldiers that are obeying what King Nebuchadnezzar says to in a sense, stay true to their God, but yet their God couldn't protect them. They died from the flames. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego ended up falling into the furnace. And then the king jumps to his feet, and he sees four men inside, untied, and he questions. He says, didn't we throw three men in? And then he goes to the furnace, and he shouts to them to come on out. And so that's the king's response. Now I'd like to look at how God responds in this situation. And I'll read verses 25 through 30. He said, look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed. And the fourth looks like the Son of God. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair on their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except for their God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or land be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble. For there is no God that can save in this way. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego into the province of Babylon. So now we see that the way that God responds is that another spiritual being is in the fire with the three men. They're all untied and they're walking around inside this fiery furnace. When they come out, they're burnt. No hair on their heads are singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire. So again, God displays his power, and I say again, and he displays his power to King Nebuchadnezzar, because God had done this with Daniel and interpreting the dream. And so King Nebuchadnezzar again realizes that this is the one and true living God that they're serving. So through these young men's faith and their trust in God, Nebuchadnezzar's eyes are opened again, and praise are given to God. This is, again, just another step on King Nebuchadnezzar's journey with God. And it's a journey, as you go through and you read, it's a journey that shows how God is long-suffering. For individuals, for people. He's long-suffering. He wants all to come to him. And we know that we can count on God. We have in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, it says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? And so, with that, we know that we can count on God. being faithful to God is a choice that we all have to make. These three men made a choice to be faithful. And it would be very easy just to bow down and say, "We're sorry, King," and go on your way. But they made a choice to stay faithful. And for us, believing and confessing in God's Son, Jesus Christ, and following Him into the death and burial and resurrection through baptism is the beginning of our walk. And then we go about shining His light throughout our lives. And so a good way to see how God can count on us is in James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. It says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." And so that's what we need to continue to do. Keep relying on our teachings and also going to God's Word for further instruction and how to be those Christians that can be the light in the world. And even when we're faced with possible death or harm, to stay there. So when I look out into this audience, I know there's truth here. God can count on us. God can definitely count on us. And part of this, at the end of every lesson, we like to offer an opportunity to those that maybe you haven't committed your life to Jesus Christ. Maybe you don't know the love that has been laid out for you. It's through the forgiveness of sins. And the beginning of that is being obedient to the gospel, the life, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. But first you have to hear about that. And in Romans 10, verse 17, it says, "Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ." And after you hear that message, then you need to believe it. Hebrews 11, 6 says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." Then you need to repent. In Luke 13, verse 3, it says, "I tell you no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish." And then you need to confess Jesus before men. In Matthew 10, 32 and 33, it says, "Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven." And then you need to be baptized. Acts 2, 38, Peter says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And after that, we need to continue to walk faithfully. Hebrews 10, 25 says, "Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." And so that's what we have to offer this evening. Or maybe there's prayers that you might want, prayer requests, or if there's any need that we might be able to fulfill as a church, as a body of Christ, we stand to sing the invitation song. You can come forward at that time, or after the song, you can come forward and we can see how we can help you.